T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back in. Hollywood and Dave Hyde with you. It is time for your chance to win $1,000. It's the 560 WQAM $1,000 Touchdown Contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word ZOO to 72881. And you're registered. Text ZOO, Z-O-O, to 72881. Now, if you don't win this time, your next chance is at the top of the next hour. WQAM's $1,000 Touchdown Contest is brought to you by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Do people still have that, by the way? I've been reading this all morning, David. I'm curious. Do people still have that thing where it like costs you 10 cents a message?
I see once in a while on my phone. Remember my phone, like, it'll
Joe
pop up.
Would be the one to have that with, like, he doesn't really know how to use a cell phone. Joe probably has a really old school plan like that.
No, Joe actually is all, like, Joe's all set because he has
good.
The, he has
set
the Metro
PCS him, right?
deal here. And his phone.
Right.
No, Joe actually has, like, an insanely nice phone. Now, the problem is with Joe, I have to, like, do all his, I've done all his Spotify.
You add everything to him,
he's,
huh?
Joe sings a song to me, and he's like, hey, bro, how do I get this into my Spotify? So he's singing the song, and Joe butchers every song, and he sings the wrong lyrics, and so I have to decipher what he's singing, and I find it in his Spotify, and I make his playlist for him, so when he goes out of town, he has some music to listen to. But I was just wondering, like, is anyone on a planet? Like, remember when text messaging first came out, and it was like, what was it, like 10 cents a message or something?
Do you remember that?
Where you had to pay by the message, and then you're like, damn, what someone would send you, and you're like, oh, no, man, that's 10 cents more, like... And then eventually, like, I think messaging is, like, included for everyone now. Like,
you're like Joe's kid. You're like Joe's kid. I need my kid sometime to help me out.
Yeah, well, there used to be plans, Dave, where you'd get, like, 1,000 messages a month or something like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
DQ knows. Like, he's shaking his head in there.
He
knows.
There were plans. Like, the only thing you get charged for now, if it's a company thing, like, there's once in a while, charges will apply. Like, if you are texting into a... I'm trying to. I never do it, but like there's a.
You're going down a dark road here, Dave.
I know. I'm trying to think of what it is. I'm trying to think of.
You can backpedal out of this one. I don't want you texting any premium services here that you're getting billed for, Dave. I don't know what you do on the road.
I don't think.
Can backpedal if you want.
I'm completely backpedaling out of complete ignorance of what these charges are.
No, so it's just funny because, like, I go back to the first cell phone I ever had, and I had a prepaid phone. You know, those were really big back when cell phones came out, and they were the plans where I would imagine they were very expensive.
1,000 texts and 2,500 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, because
right.
the first phone we ever had was right after Hurricane Andrew. We got we went to Circuit City, which is not here anymore, obviously, and we went to Circuit City, and you bought the thing that was like the size of like a microwave. And you had that thing, and I know that it was extremely expensive to make calls off of that thing because it was like you're only using this in case of an emergency. Now, I know the plans are still expensive, but I think everyone, like, no one's getting charged 10 cents a message, are they?
So it was like the size of the phone on Seinfeld. Now, you watch Seinfeld
now. Oh, yeah, the first
now,
one. The first one was. But that wasn't even mine. That was my dad's phone. My first phone was a prepaid phone, and you used to have to go to the store and buy a card. And you would, you know, you'd go on the phone, you'd punch in the code on the card, and you'd get like 20 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever.
I never had one of those phones. I've always had company phones where they just set me up and I'm good.
Oh, this is funny. A guy texts in, free calls after 9 o'clock. Remember there used to be free nights and weekends, didn't take your minutes?
I don't even remember this
free
stuff.
Nights, there were free nights and weekends. That was another thing that cell phone companies used to do. I think, and I might be wrong about this, but I feel like everyone has unlimited minutes and unlimited text.
At
this stage
point,
of the
yeah,
game,
yeah.
Data might be a little different story, but I feel like everyone's good to go on talk and text.
We're talking like to an era of people. We're talking as if they're payphones. You might as well be talking about that when you're talking. Text would cost money and minutes would cost money.
Yeah, I just can't imagine anyone has a plan like that. I mean, especially like Joe pumps it up all the time. Metro PCS has an awesome plan. We get everything included for like one rate per month, so it makes it really simple for you. But I just thought that was funny because I've been reading that all morning. Messaging rates may apply.
Is this what you're advertising? Is this what you're advertising?
No, I don't know. I'm not advertising anything. I don't even know what I'm advertising. I'm just making an observation. Phil Simms, speaking of observations, is going to join us here in the next couple of minutes, and we are going to talk to the former quarterback, the guy who's been handling the games for CBS for a long time. He's now in the studio doing the pregame show for CBS. He's going to join us in a few minutes, and first question will obviously be about Ryan Tannehill and what he's seen so far this season. Both you and I, Dave, I think believe that the Dolphins can win this football game on Sunday and bounce back. And, they had their chance this past Sunday to have the big bounce back game, came up short. And this will be a real test to see the heart that this team has. And if they can, dig deep, because injuries are there. There's no question about it. But every team is injured right now.
I'm going 13-12. I'm going 13-12 Dolphins. It'll be a Neanderthal game of two
sounds fun.
Good defenses, and it'll come down to Trubisky's your beloved picking game.
Crazy game that he had.
Yeah, but
and the Bears are coming off a bye week as well.
Wait a second. They played Tampa Bay.
Touchdowns in that one?
Tampa Bay, opposing quarterbacks this year have a 130 rating against Tampa Bay's defense. So, yes, he had a good game. Everybody has a good game against Tampa Bay. Now they're going to play a surprising to me and very legitimate defense. They held Cincinnati, fourth best offense in the league entering Sunday, to 13 points. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins defense is showing that they're legit, and a lot of offseason moves they made are working out. Minkah Fitzpatrick, Jerome Baker, the defensive tackles, belief that they could stop the run. They're averaging 3.7 yards against them this year. That's in the sixth or seventh in the league. So the defense is showing they're making a lot of progress this year. And if the offense could just be average, then you have a chance on the season.
All right, we are going to talk now to Phil Simms. He's going to join us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Phil, bad news for you. Joe is a late scratch, so you have Danny and Dave here with you this morning. You can give Joe a hard time next time you come on with us, though.
Hey, Danny, Dave, good to talk to you. And, sometimes, Joe, we know, he's a late scratch. Just had a rough night. Rough night. No, I just hey, you can't do it all. You got to decide what you're going to do. But whatever. I'm just having fun with Joe. So, but it's good to talk to you guys and the Dolphins. And man, the Dolphins. Every team, it seems like in the league this year, it's like drama everywhere. Mm-hmm. And maybe we as the press help create it. I'm sure we do. But the Dolphins, great start, and here we are, 3-2, and that's all. I listened to TV this morning. What about there's a lot of talk about the Dolphins and what's going on down there.
Yeah, the drama here is the quarterback, and right up your alley of expertise, Ryan Tannehill. The offense has one touchdown the last two games and a couple bad turnovers against the Bengals last week that cost the game. What's your thoughts on Tannehill in at age 30 in year 7 with him?
Well, look, I know they won better, and I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's not his fault. There is always part of it is your fault. But the offensive line last week, it fell apart at the end. And it's not only – I'm not sure who – I think it was Sam Young that came in at left tackle.
Yes.
Yes. Well, he had problems. And then Juwan James got beat for a big play, too. And I thought, wow, the offensive line, which I know they work around anyway – but I watched the Dolphin games, and I can't go through all of them, but when they played a team like Tennessee at the beginning of the year, they were worried about their defense, the rush. He threw a lot of short passes, get rid of the ball, and then they took an occasional shot down the field, which they hit. And because that's great understanding of the defense and playing around it. They play the Oakland Raiders, no pass rushers, hold the ball. Now they're throwing it down the field. And against the Bengals last week, when I saw the end and what happened, I just go, look, anytime your offensive line struggles, you're going to lose the game, unless your defense is just unbelievable. And so, you know, Ryan Tannehill, I'd like to see more big plays from him, or at least try when I watch the Dolphins, but it's hard to do that when you worry about your offensive line. And you tell me, when you look around the league and you look at receiving groups and you say, oh, let's look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got two number one receivers out there, and Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown. Really, when you look at it, who's the number one receiver for the Miami Dolphins?
Completely agree. On the whole offense, there's no player above average in mind.
Who's the running back that we're going to crowd the line of scrimmage to stop?
Frank Gore.
Who do you – well, No, that's the point. Like, I watched the Carolina Panthers play the Giants, and I don't mean to get off target here, but I thought, oh, they'll play safe. They'll be scared of, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard and Saquon coming out of the backfield maybe to catch the pass. No, they did the opposite. They put everybody up there and said, Saquon's not going to beat us. You're going to have to beat us with Odell Beckham Jr. So that was – so they had to change a game plan because they were worried about somebody. And I just wonder, do any defenses change their game plans because they're worried about anybody on the Miami offense to game plan around?
No, especially with Devontae Parker. Right, speaking of game plans, the one thing they can't or have to try to prevent is Khalil Mack destroying their offense this week. How you've gone up against – you went up a lot of great defensive linemen. You see game plans. What can they come up with?
Well, you know, look, they got to know where he's at and which side he's going to play on. He usually likes to play to the offense's right, but they have moved him some. But he is a special player, no doubt about it, and it's going to be rough. And when we played, and I hate to go back to those days, but we played a Reggie White. Here would be the thing. Okay, guys, everybody block their guy in front of them and do this, do that. And if anybody doesn't have somebody to block, make sure you know where Reggie White is and run over and double team him no matter where he is. And, you know, Khalil Mack is really one of those guys. And I would be shocked if Miami doesn't try to put a tight end to his side, try to chip him with a tight end or the running back. You're going to have to do special things against him because you don't want him to single-handedly wreck the game, which he is capable of. And John Gruden had the greatest line, I guess it was last week or 2 weeks ago. He got another strip sack fumble? Are you kidding me? I mean, he couldn't even help himself. He said it to the press. So that tells you who he is. And the Bear defense is really well coached, as good as there is in the NFL, and they're solid all the way across. They got players at every level. Danny Trevathan's a good linebacker. Vic Fangio, in my estimation, I've followed his career from the Colts to Stanford to the 49ers, and he's one of the best guys in the league. So I guess seeing all this, Miami's got their work cut out for him for sure.
Phil Simms from the NFL on CBS is with us. Phil, I want to switch gears a little bit. You mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. He came out and had that bizarre interview this week with Lil Wayne sitting next to him and proceeded to kind of go in on his quarterback, Eli Manning. The timing seemed awful, that the comments weren't good either. What do you make of that, a guy kind of calling out his quarterback midseason like that?
Well, you know, a lot of times, and I did it, I mean, I woke up a few times in my career and saw the back page of the paper and went, oh, my God, are you kidding? I know it looks so much worse when I see it or hear it than I thought it was when I was doing it. And, I'm not picking up for Odell at all. But I think he was in one of those situations, and everybody gets comfortable, and you kind of talk. And I know he regrets it. And you know what? Maybe, and I took this angle, and I do believe this, maybe now the Giants have got all their dirty laundry out. They can, like, take a breath. Okay, we're all cool with each other. I mean, they were playing Lil Wayne music at the practice. I don't know if they did that on purpose, but they did. But I do believe that the Giants now, maybe this will settle Odell down because he's always throwing. You can see, because I watched the tapes, and he's wide open now. He's been open quite a few times where Eli didn't throw it to him, and he's like big plays. And you see him just throw his arms up and boom, and then a couple of weeks ago he walked off the field before halftime came, things like that. So I think this really, in a strange way, will galvanize their team. I expect them to play very well tonight.
All right, the other big news in the league, it was Drew Brees this week, and one thing I'm curious about, the big celebration for him, very well deserved and all that. Tom Brady's coming up with some landmarks. Will New England, knowing their personality, have a similar celebration for Tom Brady?
That's a great question. If they do, it'll be the fastest and quickest celebration in the world because we're on to Cincinnati. I don't think. Yes, they might stop it for a second, but it'll be a quick, it won't be a family affair. I would think not. I don't know, but I think it's a good point. And, hey, look, Drew Brees, he wasn't good enough for Miami. I know, that was rough.
That hurts.
Rough. But, hey.
You know, the college personnel director of the Dolphins walked into Dave Wannstedt's office the night before the draft, Tom Bratz, and pounded the table to take Drew Brees rather than the Wisconsin cornerback Jamar Fletcher, and Wannstedt said, "Nope, we're going to stick with the cornerback."
Wow! Now, who was the quarterback at the time in Miami?
Jay Fiedler.
Okay. I think all these people coming out. Well, we had Patrick Mahomes. We really wanted him, and I told him, and we didn't. Yeah, okay, sure. Sure you did. You know, I know just a few people that had Patrick Mahomes as the number one player 2 years ago, and now everybody had him really rated high. Yes. We're all geniuses after the fact. But I watched Drew Brees play many games at Purdue, and I thought he was going to be a good pro. I could see even then. Would he turn out to be what he is? No, I didn't expect that. Well, let's don't forget, even in San Diego, he was playing well and did a good job and was not wanted. But he really found his perfect person in Sean Payton, because Sean Payton thinks he's the quarterback, so he's playing through Drew Brees. This is what I'd done if I was Drew. I'd create this play to do this and do, and that's what it is. I mean, did you watch the game? Was that Monday night?
Yes.
Have you ever seen so many open receivers in your life in a pro football game?
It is amazing what they're
doing
there. That's
not all just bad defense. That is game planning, brains, Drew Brees looking people off, everything they do. It was a great display. And Drew Brees is humble and a great team guy and all that, and I admire him greatly.
Phil, thank you so much for the time this morning. Appreciate it.
Okay, well, I hope Joe's okay. Tell him to have one of those Bloody Marys. That'll get him going.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
Guys, have a good day.
All right, Phil Sims from the NFL on CBS, kind enough to take some time here with us this morning. Brian Skrulin is going to join us later on in the 9 o'clock hour. The Panthers' first ever captain and a Dave Hyde favorite.
Top five all time.
South
guys
Florida.
To come. Stand up,
for
always
you.
There. And you know what comes out? He liked me. I remember when whether he's faking or not, he said he liked me. And you know, it's like anything else, a reflection. I'll like you back.
All right, so we'll talk to Brian Skrulin later on in this hour. And if you missed the code word, I'll get that for you when we come back. You can also join the 411 Payne WQAM Street Team for Saturday Night Football, 8 p.m. at Uncle Al's in Sunrise. Watch the game while quenching your super fan thirst with specials on Coors Light. We'll take a pause. Hollywood Dave Hyde in for Joe and Zach.
Radio.com.
Hey, good morning, Hollywood. Dave Hyde in with you. You can join Alex Dono as he broadcasts the Canes pregame show on 560 WQAM at Milam's Market in Coconut Grove this Saturday from 3 to 7. Pick up everything you need for your tailgate and win WQAM street gear from the 411 Payne Street Team. And of course, we will have the pregame, the game, and the postgame show. I'll have the postgame show with Brian Monroe here for you at the Canes in Virginia. We'll go 7 o'clock on Saturday, and that will be all day, wall to wall coverage.
You're nervous
here
about
on
this
WQAM.
Game. I can tell you're a little.
You should be nervous anytime you have a conference game on the road, Dave. I mean, those are games that you can lose.
It's Virginia.
And I'm not saying I would never in this lifetime pick the Canes to lose to Virginia on the road, but I still think the Canes have to go and play a good football game because Virginia's going to be pumped up. They're not a bad team. They're 3-2, and it's a 7-point spread. So If the Canes were going in there, Virginia was, you know, 0-5, and the Canes are favored by 6 touchdowns, that'd be one thing. But, you know, the guys, again, who make a living off of this thing, think the game is going to be a 7-point Canes win. That's what the experts, with the air quotes, have said this is going
to be. The experts had the Canes winning 13 over Seminoles, too.
Yes. Well, again, I thought that spread was insane because I thought those teams were way too even, and that rivalry is always close. But here's the thing. Miami's talent and Virginia's talent, it's night and day. You can't compare. They're not recruiting the same caliber of players. I mean, Miami has studs all over the field. Virginia does not. Again, it's not to say that Virginia will not hang in this football game. Not to say it won't be a close game.
You're talking Florida State hangover, night game in Virginia.
No, Dave, I think they win. I'm just saying I think that this will be a tough game for the Hurricanes. I don't think any of the games from here on out, I mean, these are conference games. I don't think any games in
That's what you're
saying? Are going to be
backs to the wall.
Yeah, you're not playing, you know, Savannah State anymore is where I'm going with this thing here. So I think it'll be a great game, and hopefully everyone can tune in on Saturday. I want to get to some of the texts here on the Ken Ototo and West Ken Ototo text line 56022. We have an interview that we're excited for in the final segment coming up. Brian Scrudlin is going to join us. Dave said he is the top five all time.
Top five all
South
time.
Florida
guy to cover.
Sports interview. So I'm very
I'm putting the pressure
interested.
On him. I hope he's got his good quotes.
Dave, I told you I was in elementary school when the Panthers made their run. So
did you get a Panther shirt? Did you follow?
Oh yeah. I still have the rats at home. There was a card shop in Kendall where I lived. I think it was called Going Gone. There's a card shop down there, and I assume that it is gone because
it was going.
I don't know how many card shops still exist this day and age. But anyway, so they did this thing where they were selling these hand painted rats. So I actually have a rat that I've kept throughout all these years, and it has a Van Beesbrouck jersey painted on the rat. Now, it's probably not a collectible to anyone. I really like it. I have it displayed in my home. My wife is not a huge fan of the big plastic rat. But, yeah, man, the Panthers were like a huge thing back then, and you hope that they can kind of recapture some of that, you know, here with this core of guys that they have, because this is the best core of players they've had in a very long time, and we're hungry for some success. That's the bottom line, right? You can't sugarcoat it this time around, Dave. They have to make the playoffs this season, and they really need to win a playoff series as well.
They
should
make
a
run. They should make I don't know how big a run. We'll see how the season goes, but they're young talents growing up. Years 4, 5, 6 for the Stars. These should be their prime years, and so we're beyond it's a young team or,
yeah.
You know, all the past. Look, whoever they are, they're going to be that this year.
I just would like to see that kind of atmosphere.
You won't
for
see that
again.
Right? Yeah,
and
you,
I know that Miami
that
Arena had a charm. It had its charm and all that. But I'd like to see a buzz.
There will be a buzz if they make the play. Remember, just 2 years ago when they made the playoffs games, they there was a buzz. They didn't build on it. One of these franchises, these pro franchises, and I'll throw out the Heat because they've done their part. The other three. Somebody's got to have some sustained winning here. Winning, first of all, and then sustain that.
Well, the Marlins are kind of behind the eight ball right now. They're going to be, I would imagine, they're going to struggle for a little bit as Jeter works to get in his plan.
They're
and
making a good move, though. They just traded for more international money.
Okay.
Which this is something
they're
that
not giving
Lurie
away any
never
more MVPs, though, right? Because that didn't go so well. But look, long story short, with the Marlins, I buy into everything that they're doing right now, to be completely honest with you. And from a PR standpoint, they've handled things the right way. They've been professional with us this year. They've been accessible to us this year in ways that they were not with the previous ownership. So I give credit to the Marlins front office and those guys for doing a job that is quite difficult.
And we'll come back in 3 years to see if they're relevant, right?
I mean,
is that what you're saying?
Baseball was in bad shape when those guys took over.
It
was
still
in
bad
really
shape.
Bad shape. It still is. I agree with you. And it's going to take a lot to turn that thing around. But I think that they're going in the right direction. But as far as the Panthers go, again, I personally love hockey and I love watching hockey in person at the games. I think the games are fun to watch. The action is great. And I really do. I've always enjoyed hockey. I've been going to the games for as long as I can remember. So to see this team succeed would be a really nice thing this year. And again, I think fans need to have some sustained success, like you mentioned, to get people back on board with this team and the direction that they're heading. But it seems like now they are really going in the right direction with some of these guys.
But
and
they've
locked them down.
Okay, the first game out, second period, Luongo suffers a knee injury. I mean, come on, this is, they don't need stuff like that, right? I mean, of all the big question of the year, I talked to Dale Tallon before the season. Big question, he said, obviously, is Luongo's health. And there it is. In first game, he suffers a knee injury that really has nothing to do with age or anything. It's just, you know, he got fallen on. And so now he's out, I guess, 2 to 4 weeks. So that they didn't need that. But, you know, their talent's there this year. It should be grown up.
All right, Brian Skrudland is going to join us next. I want to let you know if you missed any of our interviews today, you can head to WQAM.com. One of my favorite interviews that we had today was Jim Suhan. He is a columnist for the Star Tribune in Minneapolis. You got to hear the stuff that he said in that interview. It is really eye-opening and interesting to hear a perspective from someone who has covered that team for as long as he had, because we're looking at it from a Heat standpoint, from a Jimmy Butler standpoint, and seeing the kind of circus act that was Timberwolves practice yesterday. But very interesting takes on this thing from Jim Suhan. So that interview, you can catch that on WQAM.com. We're going to talk to Brian Skrudland next before we hand it off to the Big O. I know he's got a lot more Jimmy Butler and Dolphin stuff to get to today. So the Big O will be coming up next. But we will talk to Brian Skrudland coming up here on the show. Hollywood and Dave Hyde in for Joe and Zach.
Radio.com.
Welcome back to the show. Hollywood and Dave Hyde here with you. We're going to go right out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening on the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. And we have a very special guest joining us here. He's here for the Panthers' 25th anniversary, all the stuff that the team has going on. Home opener tonight, which you can hear on WQAM. And Brian Skrudland is kind enough to join us this morning. Brian, before I let you get started here, I got to tell you, Dave Hyde, who's sitting next to me, said you are a top five athlete that he has ever covered down here in South Florida. And he's been around here a while.
I'm putting the pressure on you, Brian.
Very kind words, Dave. Now, is Joe your number one then? Is he 1, 2, 3, and 4?
You know, I haven't even rounded out my top five. I'm just putting you in it. That's all that matters, because there was a magical time here. And 96, and when I think of, okay, I've been here for a while, the most fun times covering a team, that would be number one, because of the run you guys made, the guys who you were, just a lot of workmanlike, solid careers, good careers, but not superstars, and the surprise factor in South Florida at the time. And I remember players walking out after games, and it'd just be a mob in that playoff scene. Fans would be waiting around. After what memory do you have? Take us back so people can understand what hockey was and still could be again here. What give us a little insight from 96.
Well, you know, we were, of course, being called the underdog was that, I think that key thing that was our motivation right from the get-go in 93, right through till 96, and we didn't consider ourselves that way. We thought we were a pretty good hockey team probably the at the time, the NHL's number one goaltender. When you got the NHL's number one goaltender, it gives you a chance to win every night. And not only was John as great as he was, but Mark gave us some good backup. Well, I think he played 28 games that original season. We just had buy-in by everybody. Buy-in by the it started at the top. I mean, things become easy when you're good at the top. And we were not only good at the top, we were great at the top with Wayne, Mr. Huizenga, Mr. Bill Torrey, and then it goes on to Bobby Clark and Roger Nielsen and Lindy Ruff and Dwayne Sutter. And, you know, it's just great to be able to list these guys' names, and especially the last 24 hours, being able to rub shoulders again and say hello and see where the families are at. And although you keep in touch with some guys, it's not the same for everybody. So not only was that a special time for us, but it's a special time being able to come back, being honored the way that it is. And I think if people in South Florida are so lucky to have the hockey team that's going to be hitting the ice tonight as their representatives for the next year, this is just a quality group of guys. And I think it's the same thing as what I just listed. I think the hockey team is great right from the top straight through to the last guy on the totem pole. And that makes such a big difference. And I'm hoping that they'll be able to give it a big push this year and not only do what we did, but hit the pinnacle and bring a Stanley Cup down here to South Florida.
Brian Skrudlin here with us. Brian, I know a bunch of you guys got together. It was 15 members of the original Panthers, and I'm also told that there was an open bar at this this little get-together for you guys last night. How did that go over with you guys? Anyone throw down pretty good
you're
there?
You're only saying that because you're hearing my voice this morning, correct?
I got some inside information that there was a little party last night.
Well, you know, that's the one thing about this beautiful area of South Florida. These places stay open way too late, and I like that for some funny reason. So, anyway, it was dragging a few of the staff, a couple of the guys out last night. We had a hoot and a holler, and we just, man, you know, not even the drinking game as much as it was the simple fact. There were so many stories to get caught up on, and I think my voice is probably tired from talking as much as it was having a good cold beer.
What's the best story that got caught up on that can go on the air here?
Oh my. Well, you know, there was a couple Joe Rose stories there thrown out there last night. Number one, they're not allowed on the air. I'll guarantee you that. But Joe was doing an interview with me way back, and he came in single. He had he had the camera, he had the microphone, the whole bit. So anyway, the guys and I, we had a little bit of fun. We turned it on him. We turned the camera on him. I started interviewing him, asking the questions. Well, it got quite intimate and a little over the top. Well, I got hit with the flood in 2013 in Calgary, and I never transferred that damn tape over to a CD or anything, and I lost it in the flood. I'll tell you guys, if we were to watch that today, Joe would laugh his ass off. He'd probably die in laughter. So anyway, that was part of, I think, that whole group. We just had every day it was somebody else. You guys played a big part in it as well. I say that we were able to have a lot of fun. Let's face it, you were the only ones back then with a camera. Our phones are too big to have cameras in them. You know, I guess you guys made us look pretty darn good as well, and we thank you all for that, because you're really – there probably could have been the odd story that could have been thrown and misconstrued, and you guys were great at keeping that under wraps and continuing with the idea that we were just a hardworking group of guys that came down there to win together and have some fun, and fun we certainly did. And we loved, you know, I love the fact of going down to Miami. I mean, I never realized I had so many friends in this world until I became a Florida Panther, and October and November hit in Canada. All of a sudden I heard from guys that I used to go to kindergarten with, for crying out loud. They wanted to come down for a week. So, it was fun. The idea of a kid from Saskatchewan playing hockey in South Florida, hitting the beach every day after practice. I mean, this script couldn't have been written any better. And here we are being able to celebrate it 25 years later. So it's a riot.
Brian, is this true that you coach the Boogeyman? Because we have him on every week here, and he's very, you know, professional and buttoned up. The head coach, of course, of the Cats. Did you coach him as a player?
I had him in Calgary. I was an assistant with Brad McCrimmon and Greg Gilbert. And Bob came over, and as you just described him, he was to the T. He was a consummate professional. And I know that he'll get the same thing out of these guys without even, you know, really raising a finger. He just sounds like he's had just great success. I'm looking forward to seeing him tonight as well and wishing him the best of the season. But I think the guys, he's a player's coach from what I hear. I think the guys will really enjoy playing for him, in a sense that he's going to be a rewarding type of coach. And I think that's what the players really enjoy playing for today.
So you're not going to spill any stories on Bugner then? We're not going to get any.
You don't have. He was that good. I don't have any, and it was pretty hard to check curfew when you weren't in yourself, so I never checked curfew.
All right, you work with the Panthers with Barkov. Give us a story of Barkov, the younger Barkov. You must have taught him how to cheat on faceoffs, right?
Oh, my. Now, isn't that guy just a stud? I mean, we've got there's the excitement for this hockey team as well. And for the guys to recognize Alexander in the sense that he has that ability to carry the C and represent that hockey team the way that they need to be, I think it was just a fabulous choice. You couldn't get a word out of him edgewise when I first came here. Yet you knew every now and then that he was just sly enough to do some funny things, and I guess he's having a lot of fun with you guys, with the media, and you're really enjoying having him as well. And I think, you know, it's a give and take relationship, and you guys do it better than anybody in the league down here, and I think the players really do appreciate it. So Alex is, I'm looking forward to hearing some stories, because really before I had left, I hadn't heard a lot. There was a young, quiet Russian Finn at 6'3", 220 pounds, and with hands of gold. I mean, this guy's got some of the slickest hands in the league. I'm just looking forward to seeing him on the ice tonight.
Brian Skrudlin, kind enough to join us this morning. Brian, it's going to be very exciting tonight at the home opener. You and a bunch of the other guys are going to be honored tonight. So I know we're all looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to getting finally a home regular season hockey game here tonight. Of course, you can hear it on WQAM. Brian, thank you for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
You got it, guys, and good luck this season. Enjoy yourselves.
Thanks so much. Brian Skrudlin joining us there. We're going to hand it off now to the Big O. Before we do that, the Dolphins have put out the injury report. And, Dave, this goes back to yesterday here. Cameron Wake did not practice due to a knee. Ryan Tannehill listed on the injury report with a shoulder injury. He was a full participant in practice. Devontae Parker with the quad injury, a limited participant. Rashad Jones, a full participant in practice, dealing with that shoulder injury as well, and Jakeem Grant limited with a shoulder yesterday at Dolphins practice. So we'll have an updated report for you later today, but that is currently the Miami Dolphins injury report. Is brought to you by the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Dave, it was a pleasure.
Fun, Danny. Thanks, Hollywood.
Joe and Zach will be back tomorrow. Thanks to DQ and Matt Wilson in the back. The Big O Show is next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.